Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Here's a Stoop story from Jeffrey Danik about goats.
It was 8 years ago on a Thursday, around 3 o'clock in the morning. I was sitting out in my backyard. I just about finished off the last of the beers. And I live in the city. So when I bought my house, I thought it'd be great to have a big yard. So I bought the lot next to me. And what I realized is that the big yard, you get big weeds. And since I didn't inherit my mother's green thumb, I was going to have to come up with a solution. So as I sat there watching the weeds grow up around me, I had a moment, and it just came to me, why don't I get a goat? Goat could eat this yard. Goat will eat anything, right? So I immediately went on my phone, and I looked up goats, Baltimore City. And there it was, my sign. That day, in the city paper, there was an article entitled, Get Your Goat, which now allowed you to have goats in Baltimore City. And I thought to myself, this is it. So I need to get some goats, or at least one goat. So where do you get goats? Well, again, to the internet. Craigslist. And I found a small farm just out Route 70, where this woman was breeding goats. So I called the next morning and told her that I would like to get a goat. And she told me, well, you can't just have one goat. You have to get two goats because they're herd animals and they need a friend. And I thought to myself, well, I have no idea what I'm doing. So if I'm going to get one goat, I might as well get two goats. They can keep themselves company, and that means they'll clean the yard twice as fast. So I went out, and that's when I met Casey and Tacos, my two little baby goats that I ended up getting. But before I could take them home, I had a little list, you know, of things, my to-do list that I had to do. I had to goat-proof the yard, which meant fencing. I had to build some fencing. I had to build them a structure. So I built this little, what we call the goat-tel, out of pallets and a little roof on it. You know, a nice little place where they can just snuggle up. I had to go get hay. You know, where do you find hay? I'm driving all over the place trying to find hay to bring home to make a nice little nest for them. And then the day finally comes, and I drive out, and you're probably thinking, how do you transport goats? Well, they're little baby goats. I mean, they're just, you could hold them. They're like the size of a big cat, and they're just so adorable. And I went up there. I took my Honda Element, a.k.a. the Goatmobile now, and I loaded them up in the back. You know, you can hose it out. You know, you've seen the advertisement. So I load them up, and we're on our way. Well, they're screaming the whole entire way home. Bah! Bah! And just on and on. And I'm just thinking, oh, my gosh, when are we going to get home? It's about 45 minutes, you know, drive of just that. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm already a terrible father. I felt like I had kidnapped them, goat-napped them, you know? Well, kidnapped, it works too. So here we are, just taking you away, whisking you off, and we got back to the house, and I bring him into the yard, and I'm thinking, this is going to be great, you know? It's all ready to go. Here's your little goat-tel. And they come in, and immediately up on the bench and over the fence. And I'm like, ah! Up on the bench and over the fence. And I'm just like, here I've got these two little Q-berts, basically. And they just like, if they can get to something higher, they just jump up higher and higher and higher. And the higher they get, the higher they get. And I'm just like, I'm completely over my head in this, you know. So, okay, we get higher fences, you know. And I would come home from work, and I can't find them anywhere. And I'm terrified, and I'm thinking, oh, they've gotten out. And I call them, Casey Tacos, and I hear this, meh, and I look up, and they're 12 feet up in the tree just chewing on branches. And I'm terrified. I'm like, get down, come on. What are you doing up there? You know, they would break into the house. You know, they get up on the counters. They're just eaten. They've eaten everything out in the yard. That problem was solved, you know. Once they finished everything in the yard, now they're in the house knocking plants over, eating loaves of bread, dropping little bombs everywhere. Truly an amazing experience. And then they got into the garden, broke through the fence into that, and were growing hot peppers, and they devoured all of them. And, you know, that was all within, you know, the first couple months. So we got through a year, and I'm thinking, all right, you know, the yard's been goat-proofed. Everything's moving along great. We got this, you know. We're doing a good job. And then there was this day, I was getting ready to go to work, and I was running late, and I was about to rush out of the house, and I figured I'd let Maddie, our dog, outside. And she goes out, and she comes back in, and she's barking at me, and she seems really distressed. And I just, it was like one of those, like, you know, Lassie, Timmy in the Well kind of moments, you know, where you're just sort of like, and you know, that sort of just like instinct kicked in. I said, well, let me go outside and check on the baby. So I go outside, and that's when Casey comes around the corner, and I look down, and she has this huge gash in her leg, and she's bleeding, and the blood is just squirting out. I run inside, and I grab a roll of paper towels, and I wrap it around her leg as tight as I could, and I'm holding it and holding it, and I take it off, and it just spurts blood out at me, and it's just, with every little beat of her heart, the blood's just pumping out, and I realize that I need to do something, and I need to act fast, and I needed to get her medical attention. So I scooped her up and brought her out and put her into the element, and just started driving, and I got on the phone and I called the local animal hospital and I told her that I had a goat, my baby goat, and she was bleeding and I needed help. I needed them to do something. And that's when she told me that they don't take ruminants. And I said, oh, she's not a ruminant, she's a baby goat. And that's when I found out that goats are ruminants and that they have four chambers in their stomach and they do a lot. So I said, well, I need help. I need you to help me. And she said, do you know how to make a tourniquet? And I said, a what? And she said, a tourniquet. And you know, I'm driving along, and I'm just, my brain is just like trying to think of that word. You know, it's not something that's scrambling in my database, you know, and everything going on. And I'm like, tourniquet. And I'm like, you mean like Rambo? And she's like, yes, exactly like Rambo. She said, I need you to pull over on the side of the road. You have to stop the bleeding. Take off your shirt and wrap it around. So I pull over, and I jump in the back, and I tie the shirt around as tight as I can and right above the wound, and I'm applying pressure, and she's on the phone calling out to vets in Carroll County to see if there's somebody that can take her. And she also got in touch with my wife, who was able to leave work early and come and meet me on the side of the road as I'm in the back of the element trying to stop the bleeding. As it turns out, she did find a place that was able to take her out in Carroll County. And since Mia couldn't drive stick, I had to drive, and she had to hop in the back and take over on tourniquet duty. And we drove out around the Beltway in rush hour traffic, me shirtless, Mia in the back playing Rambo. It was the longest hour of our lives, and I just remember thinking the whole entire time that she wasn't going to make it. We weren't going to make it there in time, and that she was going to bleed to death. And it just, it went on and on, and we finally got there, and we were in a panic. We brought her in. They were a lot calmer. They had seen these things before. They took her in the back. Okay, it's okay. They sedated her, stitched her up, you know, wrapped a bandage around her, and when she came to, they said she was ready to go. I mean, we were relieved. Here we thought we were going to lose, you know, our baby, and, you know, they saved her. And we took her back home. We got home, and it was almost like she was, like nothing had happened. It was just back to going and eating hay. She was just lying there in the sun and just soaking it up, and it was just an extremely traumatic event that happened to us. But, you know, through it all, we sort of had this really amazing bonding experience to go through this sort of near-death experience. And, you know, we were able to realize that, you know, we had something special. You know, we had this family. And here I thought I would just get in two lawnmowers to take care of the weeds. It was a practical thing. But it turned out we had a lot more than that. And we've had them for 8 years now. And they're just amazing. And they take care of us every day therapeutically. And I was just glad that I was able to be there and that paternal instinct kicked in and I was able to save her with the help of Maddie, too, alerting me and Mia in the back. And thank you.
That was a Stoop Story from Jeffrey Danik about the bond that can grow between man and beast. We have more information about the Stoop Storytelling Series, including live events happening soon and the Stoop Podcast, at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you're with us on the record. Hope your weekend is carefree.